feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. What kind of person do you think God can use? What kind of qualifications would you list for a person that God chooses to do mighty works? Perhaps you would list intelligence and courage. They certainly should be clever and creative, don't you think? And maybe charismatic and well-educated, too. Well, in our study today, we will get a good picture of the kind of person that God uses. We began looking at this on our last program, where we saw God choose Gideon for the mighty task of defeating the Midianites. Now, this might seem like a very odd choice at first. Gideon doesn't seem to have any of the appropriate qualifications, but God has his reasons. Let's now join Pastor John as he explains what kind of person God chooses.
The Lord is showing you and telling me something very important. And that is, while the world may value ingenuity and creativity and education and all kinds of abilities, and the world ought to value those things, they're not necessarily valued in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Jot this down. I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 27, 28, and 29. And that's why Paul said previously, in verse 26 of the same chapter, "You see your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Look around, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. You don't see a lot of wise men or noble men or mighty men in the eyes of the world. God uses the weak things to confound the strong, the foolish things that the world says, hey, God would say, I'm going to use them. I was down at a conference this past week in Southern California sharing with a group of pastors down there. As we were sharing together, as I was talking with the fellas, as we were hanging out, it was cracking us all up because these are guys like you and me. These are guys that aren't educated in seminary. In fact, most of them didn't even go to college. In fact, a lot didn't even finish high school. But they're pastoring churches that are numbering in the thousands in many cases. And changing the face of what church is around the world presently. But they're not men that have PhDs, you know. They're not men that have all kinds of fancy degrees. They're just guys like you and me, people like us, who are in the world's eyes foolish and unqualified. What's your credentials? Where were you ordained? Where are your degrees? Well, you know, don't have any. I got through 10th grade and, you know, or I went to college, was a PE major, whatever it might be. But God's using me. I don't know why the guys would be forced to say, just simply to show that God is in control. He gets the glory. He's doing what he wants to do in a way that the world can't figure out. Why does God want the glory? I'll tell you why. God says, I'm going to use the illogical. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to use men like Gideon, men like John, men like you. I'm going to use people that are the least in their family, from the least tribe, and they're afraid, and they're not ready in the world's eyes, or even in their own eyes, frankly. But they're people that are going to rely on me and believe in me and take steps of faith in obedience to me. And I'm going to use them that I, God says, might get the glory. God wants to use you and use me. We say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the education. Hey, Gideon felt that way. And now numerically, the men around him were 300 in number. Yeah, but you say, but those 300 were sharp. They were sharp because the other guys, the 9,700, they put their face in the water, you see. But the 300, they stayed there and were looking around vigilantly, making sure that the enemy wasn't coming. So they cupped their hand and they were really there, you know, on the watch. They were there plugged in. They were there. These guys were the sharp 300 commandos that God could use, the elite, the Green Berets. The X-Force, or whatever it might be. I used to think that. For years I taught that. Well, that these guys, the 300, were guys that were like this, bringing the water up to their face because they were watching for the enemy. But that goes against the whole story, folks. God used Gideon, who says, me? I'm a chicken. And God used the unlikely, the unworthy, the unpredictable person, and he narrows it down to three. Who were these 300? I suggest to you, these 300 guys were so fat and so old, they couldn't get down. These were the guys that were broken down. These were the guys that just, and I'm getting, you can relate to that, some of you. I mean, you got to scoop it up. The 9,700 could get down. You know, they were there drinking it up. But the old guys, the fat guys, the guys with bad backs and bad knees, they could just come. That's what's happening here, folks. This isn't the elite. These are the weak, the foolish things. The guys that you would say, the 300, please, you go. 9,700, at least we might have some kind of a chance here. But God says, no, I want to use the fat, old, broken down guys. The guys that can't even bend down, can't even get on the ground. That fits the story. I'm convinced now that that's exactly what is happening. That fits the whole story. First, Gideon is chosen. Then the numbers go down to 9,700. That number is winnowed down even further to the guys that can't bend down. You're the warriors we're going to use, you see. God would say that day. Why? That he might get all the glory. Why? Because God knows if you put glory, confidence, or if you put your stock in any person who you think, oh man, he is together, or she is sharp, or they really have it all together with their educational degrees and with all of their training and all of their creativity and all the rest. If you put your confidence in men, any man, every man will ultimately disappoint you. They will not be there in the way that you hoped they would. They will not come through for you in the way that you think they should, because all of flesh is flawed, but not God. God is not flawed. And God would say, I want you to glory in me, so I'm going to use the foolish things, the base things, the weak things to confound the wise. Why? That no flesh should glory in my presence. That all the glory will go to me. That people will be impressed with me. They'll look to me. They'll keep their eyes focused on me. And as they do, they're never going to be disappointed. For I alone, you see, am holy. I alone am able to see them through. If you put your eyes on any person or people, on any ministry or organization, I promise you this, you will be sooner or later disappointed greatly. But if we keep our eyes focused on God, and if we say, man, it's the Lord that's doing this work, or it's the Lord that's doing that thing, it's just the Lord. then you're never going to be disillusioned or disappointed because your focus is on Him. And that's why God says, I don't want any flesh to glory in my sight. So I'm going to use the foolish things, the broken down fat guys, the small number, the people that others would say, 300 of those guys against 135,000 Midianites? God says, yes, precisely. That I might get the glory. So what happened? Well, those 300 broken down fat guys, those old guys that couldn't get down to the water, those guys that others in the world would despise and say, that's crazy if that's your army. What did they do? Gideon got his plan from the Lord that day and said, here's what the Lord wants us to do, men. Take a pitcher, a clay pitcher, a jar, a pot. Take a torch and take a trumpet. And we're going to surround the Midianites who are down in the valley on this ridge that runs round about. And at night, I want you to, as you're spread out, encircling on the ridges and hills, the valley where the men of Midian are, on a signal, I want you to take that torch, which will be lit, and it's in the pot, it's in the jar. And I want you to blow the trumpet, each of you, given a trumpet, let it go, let it blow. And I want you to break that jar and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. That's our plan. That's the plan. That's it. That's it. That's our strategy. That's the whole deal. Spread yourselves around the ridge, the mountains, the hills that are above the valley where the men of Midian are camped out. And on the signal, blow the trumpet, break the jar. And the men said, okay. And that night, as the men of Midian were down below in their camp, going to sleep, Midian, sound asleep in the valley below, the men of Gideon were round about. And Gideon gave the signal. And the men blew the trumpets, and they let out a shout, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. And they broke the jars. And when they broke the jars, there was the clanging of broken pottery. And it says that at that time, the Midianites who were down below, they wake up and they look around and they see 300 bright lights that are surrounding them. And they hear this crashing of the broken pottery and the blowing of the trumpets, you see, and the shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the guys thought, oh no, we're surrounded by a massive mammoth army. They thought, the men of Midian, that each one of those torches represented a whole division, a whole company. There must be 300,000 of them out there at least. You see, it was really just one old fat guy. But the men of Midian didn't know that. They thought, oh no. And they, in their sleep, they began to grab their swords and they, in their confusion, they began to actually battle against each other, not knowing where the enemy was. And they're surrounded by this massive army, or so they thought. And they killed each other off. The men of Midian were destroyed. And God got the glory. And the people of Israel were awed. Not ODD, that too, but AWED. They were awed and amazed. Oh, God is so amazing. Look what he did with 300 old fat guys. Look what he did. The men of Midian destroyed, wiped out, put down, were set free. Here's what happened. I'm almost done. Listen carefully. Here's what happened. How does God use people like you and me that are not qualified in the world's eyes, not trained, not equipped, not esteemed, not in the who's who, as I've often said, but rather in the who's he? How does God use people like you, people like me? How does this work? I'll tell you how. They had pots. They had earthen jars. Paul says to the Corinthians again, don't you know that we have this treasure, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, in earthen vessels, in earthen jars. Huh? This treasure, Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen jars. Paul says, God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and he has shined from our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. God is the light. He shines in our hearts. We are earthen vessels, earthen jars. Some are more earthy than others. And the Lord says, and the light comes out of these earthen vessels. How? How did the light come out of those earthen vessels, kids? How did the light come out of those earthen clay pots in Gideon's day when they were broken? When they were broken. When they were broken, the light poured out, and the enemy down below was confused by that. Couldn't make sense of that. We are earthen vessels. We are clay pots. And the light comes out when we are broken. When we are cracked. Cracked pots. What do you mean? It's when you get fired from work. It's when the doctor says the news isn't good. It's when the marriage dissolves and you didn't want it to. It's when the financial pressures are incredibly great. It's when the business doesn't go right. It's when things are looking gloomly and grimly and you're broken. But the light of the Lord comes shining out. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. Suddenly people say, whoa, you're shining, and you shouldn't be. You should be grumpy and grim and glumly, but you're not. Hey, I'm broken. But the light of the Lord is just pouring out. The light of the Lord is just breaking through when I'm broken. You mean, John, that's how the Lord uses people? That's what the Lord does? He uses people like you and me, and he allows us to go through broken times, difficult days, tough stuff. And when you do what you say, but I'm praising the Lord anyway. I'm walking with him. I'm leaning on him. I'm going to continue to do what I did previously. That is, I'm going to love him and give my heart to him. Hey, listen carefully. When I do that, when you do that, that's when the men of Midian, the people of the world, say, whoa, you're different. And the enemy is beaten back. And the forces of hell are bound up. And a victory takes place when people can see God's light and God's goodness and God's grace radiating from your life, glowing from your face. When you're broken, when you're broken, when you're a crackpot, you see. So Lord, this is what you do. You use people like us, just normal folks, unknown, weak, uneducated, not properly trained in the world's eyes, but you use us? Yeah. Simple people, simple guys. I use you in this way. I'll allow you to be taken through some challenging days, some challenging times. And as I take you through them, I will shine from you in such a way that people around you cannot deny the reality of my brilliancy, God would say, my glory, as my light, God would say, comes shining through, comes pouring out when your vessel is broken, you see. That's how I'm going to use you. Oh, that's why, Lord, I didn't get promoted when I thought I ought to be. That's why he didn't ask me out like he promised to and now is engaged to somebody else, you see. That's why you didn't take away that sickness from me when I prayed so desperately. That's why the problem wasn't solved immediately, because you want to use me, Lord? this broken down, tired old guy? You want to use me? Yes, by allowing you to be broken. And then letting my light and my love and my light shine through from you and pour out of you when you are cracking up, so to speak, when things aren't working out as you thought they would, people around you will have the opportunity to see it's me. It's me. Listen, I am almost done, truly. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Not impressed with you because of the schooling you've had or the appearance or the whatever it is that we might glory in humanly. You just, hey, Lord, shine from me. And when I get broken, and I will be, and when things are cracking up all around me, it's going to be the opportunity, my time to allow you to shine, Lord. And people will glorify you. They'll glorify you. And the enemy's going to be beaten back. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You're the salt of the earth. You know, if I invited you over for dinner tonight in Tambo, fixed a delicious meal as she always does, and there was corn on the cob there, and you know, you were there and the corn on the cob was on your plate, and you said, hey, pass the salt, please. And you poured the salt on this juicy, succulent, perfectly cooked piece of corn on the cob. And you took a bite. Would you say, wow, Tambo, this salt is great. Man alive, this salt is, where did you buy this salt? Where did you get that salt? Man, if you did that, she could feel insulted and assaulted, frankly. That's a little joke, assaulted. Well, be that as it may, the Lord says, you're the salt of the earth. Now, salt isn't celebrated. Listen to me, folks. Salt isn't celebrated. Salt adds flavor to the real meal, the real deal. Salt makes you thirsty. Salt adds flavor, but it doesn't call attention to itself. It's to really cause there to be an awareness of the main dish, the real deal. We're to let our light so shine that people glorify God, not glorify. Wow, where did you get your training? Man, where did you go to school? Man, how did you ever come up with that? Wow, you're cool. No, people are to look at me and you and say, you're not all you're cracked up to be. Exactly. I'm a crackpot, actually. And it's the Lord's light that you see. It's Him. It's not my education, abilities, creativity, or ingenuity. The salt doesn't draw attention to itself. And that's why God says, I'm going to use you when you're weak, when you're foolish, when you're broken. God will use you. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the broken things to release His light. He'll do that for you. He'll do it for me. If we say, Lord, use us to whatever degree you can this day.
Do you feel foolish? Do you feel broken? Good. Because that means that you are the kind of person that God can use to shine His glory. Don't miss the opportunity. When things get tough, when you feel broken, remember that this is your time to shine for God.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together three daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.